And good Friday morning. It is a Getaway Friday, October 28th, 2022, last Friday in the month of October, 14 and a half minutes past the hour. You are tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship, heard live here on WGH Talk every Friday morning at 9:15 a.m., repeated on Wednesday and Thursday at 3:15 p.m. Also, we have the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service every Sunday at 7:15 p.m., repeated on Wednesday and Thursday at 4:15 p.m. By the way, if you want to listen to either one of those shows and can't be in front of a listening device at the time that they are on, you can always go to the website. The website is on demand, and podcasts are available of all those shows by going to WWGH1071.com. Program Archives, Pastor Spot is the first one under there, and I believe the Sunday service is right under that, and you can listen to these stations anywhere in the world, and we've noticed the pickup in listenership in other states, as well as here locally, which is great, and I think as the elections come up, that'll pick up. We've got, almost 30 people entered in the fruitcake toss already, and it's not even November, so there you go. And now let's turn the show over to the host, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor, here we go, Friday morning.
Good morning. How is everyone today? It's great to be here on this beautiful, beautiful, little bit chilly and frosty, but you know what? It's not windy Friday morning. Welcome, all of you, and we're here this morning with Frank Robinson.
Good morning.
And Frank's trying to get warm along with Scott, and it's here we go. We're sliding into winter. It's great to have you on here. Hey, I do want to thank everyone that is bringing their kids to Team Kids for Christ twice a month. They're here at Community Christian Fellowship. Our number there is 740-494-2222. If you'd like to get a hold of us or need any information, please contact us. And, of course, Sunday morning services are, we have Bible school hour at 9:30, and the worship is at 10:30. So we're at 209 East Water Street. Love to see you there. Let's open in a word of prayer this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, for all you've given us. Lord, that you direct us and guide us in all that we say and do. And thank you for your many blessings. Amen.
Amen.
Interesting subject this morning. Might rub a few people the wrong way, but that's okay. They say the only way you're ever going to get any change done is to every now and then step on some toes. And that's for everyone. You know, there's a commercial out about that's interesting about Jesus never getting upset, never being hard with people, always using the soft voice and turning the other cheek, and he did. But need I remind you that if you really truly read scripture, you'll see where he really lit up the Pharisees a few times with his words. And lest we also forget that he did drive the money changers out of the temple with a whip that he made himself while he sat there watching what was going on. So the point being that when evil happens, you don't just sit and be quiet, or when wrong things happen. So I want to bring up a few things this morning that have come to my attention that I think that could use a little bit of attention. One thing is this discussion that I'm hearing about Christians in this country and the desire for the this country when it was founded to be only founded, and the desire was for white Christianity, and I want to set the record straight on that. First of all, and it usually goes back to, we tie that all up in slavery. One thing I'd like to make clear is that slavery in any form is wrong. We shouldn't take other people's slaves. Another thing I would like to make clear is that at that time in the world, you'd be hard pressed to find a country that didn't practice it, because it had been the practice from basically the beginning of people. When they would war, they would take captives. We all certainly know about the Vikings. You know, the Vikings would conquer, and they drag the women back, and that's, you know, we all the Scandinavian blondes, that's where all that came from. And you know, we look at our history and the sadness of it. We look at the slavery of the Jews by the millions, and And by that, I am by no means am I condoning any form of slavery that took place in this country. The sad truth is that most of the slaves in this country were slaves before they got here. They were slaves because they were taken into slavery by their own people in their own country. They were brought to the shores. The people that bought them didn't go out into the jungles of Africa and find them. And then they were taken usually to the South America and the islands below and in that area. And they were, that was their original place, and then they were marketed out from there. And it was a sad, horrible thing. I can't even imagine the horrible conditions that they came over on those boats. And we've all seen that and heard of it, and it's disgusting that anyone could treat a human being that way. But I want you to understand that we saw the same thing in the Holocaust. And how horrible that was. And we see the same thing. Countries over the years have done this. And unfortunately, I want to let people know this, that the sex slavery in this world right now has gotten so bad, right down to tiny infant children, that it is disgusting what is going on in many parts of the world right now. And it's horrible. And unfortunately, once again, the United States are huge in keeping that going. And not as a policy by any means, I would hope. But I think that when we see and hear of those things, whether it be in our government or with people involved in our government, I think that it should be something that we get to the very root of, not something we sweep under the carpet because somebody might be a person of influence that you don't want to expose. And I think most people can see that and think, boy, that's really a sad thing. But what I want also to understand is that there were so many hundreds of thousands of American Christian people that lost their lives fighting for the freedom of the slaves in our southern states. And let's not forget that. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater and paint all white people as racist inherently, which unfortunately is even being taught in many, many of the schools today. And it shouldn't be. There were so many people. My daughter, my granddaughter, just bought a house last year up by Kenton that is on the register as being part of the Underground Railroad, and it's the coolest thing to see how they did that and the secluded room where they could sneak them in and feed them and clothe them. And there were people in the North that constantly fought to make that right. And these were Christian people, and they were not. You know, this country, many of its founders were so against slavery. Unfortunately, there was a decision made because Virginia was not going to come on board. We would not have been able to ratify a constitution if they hadn't have left that provision out to abolish it. And so they left it in. But they also spent the next 50 or 60 years fighting to get it turned, and it did get turned. Now, when we look at the racism that has followed, it's hateful. That had followed even after the law was changed, after the Emancipation Proclamation. You know, it's very interesting. Abraham Lincoln, in his speech about that, you know, he had said in a speech prior to that, he had said that if it was God's providence that many more be killed and the war rage on, and many more be killed because of the scourge of slavery, basically, then that would just have to be so be it. In other words, if that's the punishment for what we just did, then so be it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is something that was terrible. But let's look at the country as a whole. And one of the things I like to talk about the persecution of today is the church. And when the church is accused and painted with a broad brush by politicians as being racist, come on, for crying out loud. Many of these same Christians you're talking about are people of color. A matter of fact, you know, so many are, and so many churches are blended. Let's stop this trying to divide and destroy the church by calling it racist and anything else that we can come up with. And it's filtering down the pressure, unfortunately. Scott, we've talked before about many times things come down to the almighty dollar. even in broadcasting, in news broadcasting. You know, it comes down to the dollar. What's going to sell? What's going to sell tomorrow? Or the station programmer or the owner of a station will say, you know what, this is where I want to be and that's where people are. Well, this influence has gotten so great. I was really bothered yesterday, and I'll call them out. I guess I can. I don't know if it's right to do or not, but yeah, it is. I was in Menards yesterday, and I was looking for something in particular. And I noticed they have this huge, huge area of the store dedicated to Christmas displays. Scott, there was not one thing in there that had anything to do with Christianity or with Hanukkah or with anything. Nothing. Nothing. You couldn't even find a little nativity scene 6 inches wide. Nothing.
No angels for the tree.
No angels for the tree. Nothing. So I went to, they did have one goofy looking angel, but I don't know what, it said peace, peace, peace on it, and it was about a foot tall, but that was it. And, of course, we can have angels because I think they're non-binary. what they had I didn't want there, so I went to Lowe's, and it was followed suit again, nothing. Not a thing. And I thought to myself, how sad. Just last year, you could go to Menards and buy a whole nativity set, some of the big ones for your yard. But this is starting to follow suit everywhere you go. And we're trying to make our, monogamize our society to where everybody thinks blandly, acts blandly. We don't want to recognize genders, for crying out loud. I mean, come on. I don't even want to hear this stuff. You are male or female when you're born. You may be a more feminine feeling and acting male, or a more masculine feeling or acting female, but you're one or the other. Your genetics say so. You know, there are so many differences in the human body and in the mind. And we're taking young people and we're so confusing them. My granddaughter has been under great persecution at OSU because she refuses to bow to that. And she said, what am I doing? She told me the other day, all of my first year classes that are mandatory classes you have to take to get out as a freshman, she said, they're not even about the subjects they're supposed to be. They are totally about making us all think the same way. And they're totally about conditioning our minds to believe as the hard far left is going. That's not education. Why would I want to spend thousands of dollars to send my child to school so they could be ridiculed because they refuse to identify themselves as their pronoun? Tell me that. Why is it that when a report is given, they recently had to give a report, this half of their grade, on why a certain law that was passed is wrong, illegal, and immoral? And she said, I don't believe that it is. What do you want me to do? I told her, I said, look, just write the paper and say, look, according to you, this is what you need written, so I'm going to write it. But I have to tell you up front, this is not where I am. This is not the freedom that we've had in this country. And what people have to understand is when you begin to chop away at freedoms, when you take away freedoms, the next thing that's going to happen is what happens when the people in power go against what you would like to have happen, those very people that are chopping away at freedoms. Do you honestly believe that if we become more and more and more dependent on the government, that at some point the government isn't going to make a decision that's not happy with everybody, but they have such a controlling presence now that they can do that? I likened it, Frank and I were talking this morning, I likened it to people that use credit cards to finance their lifestyle. You know, oh, I got a card, I can do this, I got another. And you know, they keep coming in, and before you know it, you're $50,000, $60,000 in debt, and now you don't own the credit card anymore, now it owns you. And that's exactly what is happening the more we get in deeper and deeper with our government. What brought that subject up was, this morning, was that we know that prices are going up. I heard the other day, and I can't qualify this figure. It's just a figure that I heard that on the news when I was watching it in the morning, that the average family of two, it's costing them, in the last 2 years, it has cost them $300 a month more to live than it did 2 years ago. the average family. That's $300. Now, if their wages haven't gone up to match it, where do you get it? If heating oil does what they say it'll do this year, and all types of heating things, gas, oil, whatever you're using, the only thing that can happen that we would see happen is the government will come in with a big bailout. Well, great. They're going to bail you out. We have already seen that we're paying for these bailouts down the road. So there's my point of getting deeper and deeper into the credit card to, well, now the credit card owns you. And my concern about this is the more that we are indebted to the government, the more instead of our government working for us like the founding fathers intended, that we are a free people that elect our officials to be representatives to us, it is now becoming a government that is control, and we work for the government. And we, if look, so many countries have gone down this road, and we see what's gone on with them. And dare I name a few? China, Korea, Russia, Venezuela. Look what happened to Venezuela. 10 years ago, Venezuela was one of the three richest countries in the world per capita. What happened? People are starving in the streets. Because what happened was they lost their personal freedoms. They lost their ability to go out and make an income and to generate their income. Look, a lot of reforms are necessary. We should never do anything that is prejudicial to people in a bad way. We should love everyone. That's one part of Jesus' teachings they claim that is true, is to love everyone. But loving everyone does not always mean that you agree with everyone. If, Scott, if you're going to go out and stumble into the street and I see a truck coming, I don't want to scream at Scott. It might hurt his feelings. I'm just going to let him walk out on the street and get hit by that truck. And that's kind of where we are today. Rather than offend anyone, we'll let people go down a road that may just be very, very destructive. I know that I've heard parents in the past say, well, I would rather have my kids drink at home and know where they're drinking than to be out drinking. So rather than teach them that, hey, this is something you don't do, you're not allowed to do, and you're an adult, you can make that decision, but right now it's no. Instead, they let their friends party there at their house, and then a whole new set of problems come up. And just these kind of things. If people not, you know, how do I tell my children that something's wrong and I don't believe in it if I do it myself, or if I allow them to do it in my home? And so I look at these things, and first of all, one thing I want people to understand is that the church can't be destroyed. You can try all day long. The church is controlled by God, and the church will survive. We know that. It can be abused. It can be maligned. It can be persecuted. That's how this country got founded in the first place, were those people that were driven out of England. And no, they didn't come here first. You know, they moved away first. And when they moved, they got persecuted there again, and they ended up here. And we've had a wonderful country. Look, you can say what you want about the founding of this country. This is the most prosperous country that's ever been in the world. It's offered more opportunity than anywhere in the world. It's given us more freedoms than anywhere in the world. It has done more. This country, the United States of America, funds more charities in the world than anywhere else. And it comes from its good people that do it. And it's always been that way. The United States is the first one in and the last one out, usually. At least we used to be the last one out. And the point is, when there's a disaster, guess who comes to the rescue 90% of the time? And half the time, we get stuck with the bill. I mean, look at World War II. We rebuilt Europe. We didn't get a payback for that. Look at NATO. We funded NATO forever, protecting everyone. This is not a bad country, and we need to quit listening to those that say that it is, and making sure that our politicians don't feed the people this. Look, if you want to go down the road of thinking how terrible this country is, and you want to go down that road and you want to buy into that, and enough people buy into it, when this country loses what we have and what we've been founded on, you're going to find out just how terrible it wasn't. And therein lies the problem. And people need to really speak up. I want to read a passage this morning that's in Acts. And it was about the original church. And it says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house, dragged off men and women, and put them in prison. Understand what was going on there. We know all about the gladiators and the Colosseums, and people sat up and enjoyed watching this killing. Well, a lot of that killing, they were being done by Christians. They were, you know, feeding to the lions for entertainment. And this is what had gone in the early church. But let's look what happened from there. It says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said, with and shrieks of evil spirits came out of them, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. When you scatter true Christians, they don't shut up, they just go somewhere different. And because of the good, solid, God-fearing and God-loving Christians in this country, if we scatter them all somewhere else and go the direction that a lot of people want them to go, which is away, you'll see what we're left with, because it's happened all over the world. And if you think that, you know, history, you know, they say if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. And that's exactly what will happen. There are so many good people that give of their time and give of their possessions and give of their love to people that come out of the church. And this movement in this country to destroy the church, to silence the church, to marginalize the church is really getting out of hand. And unfortunately, we're in about our third generation of being a hard press to do just that. And a lot of young people, it's amazing. They know nothing of religion, nothing of... And here's the point. The point that you say you want to get rid of religion doesn't go away. The question is just the question is, who's your God? Mm-hmm. Do you believe in the God of chance, or do you believe in the God of the Bible? Do you believe in the God of materialism? Are you know, what about me first? Everything's about me. You know, if everything's about you, and this narcissistic attitude becomes pervasive in our society, who's out there to help other people? Because it's all about you. If this doesn't benefit me, I want nothing to do with it. And unfortunately, that's the pervasive attitude today. That's why you can't go into a job place without looking over your shoulder constantly to make sure someone's not trying to take your job. Or, you know what I'm talking about. You know what the workplace is, right? So, I'm just saying that we better pay real hard attention to what's being said in Washington. We better pay real hard attention to what's being said on the media. We better pay real hard attention to what's being said in our schools, what's being said in our local governments, and pay attention to what's trying to be taken away from us. Thoughts, Frank?
Geez, Steve, Pastor, you just hit us with all kinds of thoughts there.
I did. I whacked you over the head, didn't I? It's just been laying on my heart so heavily. And you want to see more of this, just go to the Pastor Spot on Facebook. You'll see it. I'm not going to be shy. Look, the Bible calls us to be loving. It does not call us to be shy. It does not call us to keep our mouth shut, but it calls us to be loving. I can completely disagree with you and love you at the same time. And that's something else that's not taught in our country. You know what tolerance really is? Tolerance is having a completely different opinion with someone, but yet allowing them to have that opinion. Mm-hmm. We've changed the definition of this country as you better accept what I say as truth or you're intolerant. And that's not what tolerance has ever been. You know, I tolerate this. Okay, I'm tolerating because you have the right to your own belief or your right to that. But if I don't believe that, don't call me a name over it. You know, if you call me a name, I guess I have a right to call you a name, right? And then we do it back and forth. I'll let Scott speak for a minute, because I've given him a mouthful.
Well, you know, it's an interesting point, because I've always found that people who are prolific in time are not necessarily in their own time the most popular. Because I'm a big proponent of John Adams. I like John.
Me too.
And I think he's underappreciated in that first group. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson in that group. And the funny thing is, you're exactly right that they did not abolish slavery in the Constitution for particular reasons. But you did have a choice to own slaves or
yes,
not.
You did.
And the only one who didn't was John Adams. John Adams did not own slaves. But that's always left out when they describe John Adams. Now, they describe John Adams as being a one-term president, wrong on the wars. But, you know, I think if we're going to hold that up high, which apparently we do in this country in certain points, John Adams, back in the 1700s, made a decision. And it was a decision. He wrote about it. We have his writings. It wasn't, oh, he just didn't have the money or blah, 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 blah.
I understand something, too, Scott. If we talk about how the goodness of John Adams and what he felt and who he was, then we got to say there was one of those people that was a good person, and we don't dare do that because
exactly.
They were all evil.
Well,
another thing that's interesting is, yes, I want people to really look into this. George Washington did own slaves, but...
That's right.
Look at what he did and what his real attitude was and the ones that he bought. He was notorious for buying slaves that are here were mistreated. He taught them to read and write. He let them go to church. He taught them trades. And upon his death, he wanted them all released. And the point was, because of the condition of the time, the best way that he could make sure that those families were taken care of and treated properly was to have them there. You know, there's two types of slaves, and this has been throughout history. There are slaves that are indentured servants, and there are slaves that are just horribly treated. George Washington's slaves were more like indentured servants because he didn't intend them to always be slaves. And he treated them like, you know, and sometimes in history, our indentured servants were treated quite well. A lot of the slaves were because people were... There's no, under no condition, please listen to what I say. I believe that under no condition does a person have a right to own another one. Okay? But can I tell you guys something right now? You better wake up. Because this government is trying to own you. This government is trying to buy you. And that's slavery. When this government puts you in a condition that you either listen to us and do what we say or else... Let me ask you a question. How many of you out there today are not afraid of the IRS? Are not afraid, could care less. They can't do a thing to me. There's none of you out there because you are. How many people are afraid to say too much because you don't want someone looking too deeply into you? See, that's the whole point. We're becoming slaves to our government. And that was not the intent. The intent was... that we vote in a block to vote people in to carry our represented interests to government. And if they don't do it, we tell them to leave. And now what we have is career politicians. I love these people on TV that will tell you about, oh, you know, all I'm going to do. And you look at them and say, wait a minute, you've been there for 20 years, 30 years. Why didn't you do this then? Why is this? Because you're wanting elected, not because you intend on doing anything that you didn't do before. It's called career politics. That's why they get paid what they do. That's why they have the insurance policies they do that you don't have, by the way. That is why they get the inside information on where to invest. That, by the way, you would go to jail for that. You know, dare I go on and on. And the point is that we better wake up in this country and realize that we're being duped by... Why is it, Scott, and this goes... This is Democrats and Republicans both. I'm not picking parties here. Why is it that you go into office with a moderate income and 20 years later you're a multi-millionaire? You mean by representing your district or your state and you got maybe whatever the current pay is, which is quite well, that somehow you just miraculously... made that into $200, $300, $400 million. Please. Can we wake up about this? Don't listen to politicians that say, I'm going to do this, that, and the other, when they've been there for all these years and haven't done it. You know, why is it in this country we are so hung up on personality? We are so hung up on looks and how we present ourselves that a politician can look cool, can dress a certain way, talk, boy, I like that guy. Well, why do you like him? Well, I just do. You know, I can tell. You can tell what? That he's a good actor? You know, for crying out loud, look at people's voting history. Look at who they really are behind the scenes. And we have just found it so easy to believe. It's easy believism. You know, they talk about, I have to laugh, people talk about Christians being, oh, they're just so silly, they would believe anything. Really? Look at the general population, the stuff that they're swallowing and believing, that is just, if you stop and think about it, it's like, how can you buy into that? It's not true. And we have to be investigative type people, I think. We really do. But when we look back into our found, oh, there were so many good people in our founding fathers. And guess what? There were bad people too. It's just like there is today. There's good people and bad people. Why is it we're so shocked when a Harvey Weinstein pops out or any of these other people, we find out the stuff that's going on? Why? Because people, we've said it before, absolute power absolutely corrupts. Mm-hmm. And it does. And people start thinking they're invincible after a while because everyone's trying to stroke them. You know what I mean? Hey, I'm going to rub elbows with Scott Spears because he's the hottest guy on the news right now. You know, and if, you know, Scott's the greatest interviewer in the world, and Scott, this, before you know it, you know, Scott, if he's not careful, is going to walk around with this big head thinking, I'm invincible. And thank God you haven't done that, Scott, but because a lot of people do, you know, compliment you. Pastors, it's the same deal. You know, I get kind of embarrassed sometimes when someone will come up and say, oh, pastor, you're, you know, I'm like, okay, you ever feel that way? You know, I'll kind of take the compliment. It's nice, you know, thank you very much, but, you know, I don't want to get too puffed up because pride comes before the fall.
Well, you know what it is, honestly, like, it goes both ways because also people will, because you are getting compliments, they develop a jealousy, so then they go after you when they would not go after other people, so you have that.
Yes,
that,
you
that,
do.
That comes with it.
Yes.
And then the other problem is that, honestly, most of, if you become good at what you do, no matter what your vocation is, you didn't do it alone. You know, and if anytime somebody says, oh, that was a good interview. Well, if the person didn't say yes to do the interview, well, there wouldn't have been an interview to talk about.
I'll tell you something else, and I hope most pastors feel this way, and this is the honest truth about myself. I truly feel that I am effective, ineffective, and it's in the pulpit. I really do. If I don't have the Lord directing me and helping me through it, I pray before every service that the Lord directs me and gives me the words to say, and that I don't lean on my own confidence and my own understanding, and I don't fall down. And so, you know, usually when people will compliment something, I'll let them know, you know, that, you know, thank God for that, because it's God that gives me the ability to do it, and it's not some great ability on my own anyway. But I think that a lot of times when it's really sad that when people are good people and they're torn down because someone just wants to destroy them. I laugh sometimes at how politicians will talk about how they want to unify and they want to work together, and then they'll just literally mudsling the other person and call them names. Call them names right in their ads. I mean, literally call them names. And that's not the way it's to be. You know, I'm not going to, if I'm trying to reach out to a group of alcoholics and I want to help them, say through a Celebrate Recovery or whatever the program is, to help them see there's a better life than depending on alcohol, I'm not going to constantly call them stupid drunks. I'm not going to call them worthless alcoholics. I'm not going to call them a scourge on society or a drain on society. Would any of them even listen to me for 5 minutes if I did? Of course not. And that's not true, particularly true anyway. Most of them are people that, unfortunately, they fell down a road of addiction and that they can't shake it. And it's a tough place to be. Anyone that's been involved in addiction knows that. I think I was watching some of the interview with Matthew. Help me out. It's on tonight, I think. It was on Friends.
Matthew Perry.
Matthew Perry. How sad. That poor man has been gripped and by addiction, and I couldn't help in listening to him talk how badly his whole mental capacity probably has been affected by. How does this person even get up to 55 Vicodin in a day and stay alive? You know, I don't get it. But my point is, that's a sad interview. I felt very bad for him listening to that, because I'm sure he didn't choose to be that way. And we need to spend a lot more time helping people become the people God intended them to be than tearing them down continually or trying to make them, look, I'm going to be totally immoral lifestyle. I'm going to use people. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take what I want. I'm going to put myself first, forget other people. And because I want to feel good about myself and don't feel that I'm the scourge that I really am, I think I'm going to try to pass laws to make it right for everyone to be that way too. Now, is that the craziest thing you've ever heard? But no, it's true, because everybody wants to feel they're okay, I'm okay, you're okay. So they will then in turn try to justify how they feel. I was watching one of the Law and Order shows last night, and it was great that they pointed this out on there. I don't agree with everything they always try to point out on a lot of things, but this one kind of, there was a guy on there that had been abusing people under his care. In the storyline, he was a head of a group of lifeguards in an area, and he had been sexually abusing people and financially abusing them. But he had so told himself that he was okay that he had built this scenario around himself that put him above what he was doing. And I think that goes on every day. I think that people, especially in politics, hey, look, I'm who I am and I'm doing this, so this is okay. This is just something that you don't need to pay attention to. And the truth is that we need to be the compassionate people that we are called to be. How many people out there do you think have actually sat down in layman's terms and read the Constitution? We're kind of in trouble today to get it out because no one could read it. They don't teach cursive anymore. And I did this experiment. I pulled out replicas of our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, the Emancipation Proclamation, Lincoln's inaugural address, and a couple others. And I laid them out on a table with a group of high school kids, and I said, what do you guys see? And out of, I think I had 14 kids there that night, three or four, maybe four max, could read any of it. Could read cursive. The rest couldn't even begin to. How sad is that? But the truth is that I guess you could pull it up on your phone and read it. Hopefully you're getting what it says, depending on what site you're on. But, you know, if you would stop and read that stuff, you would see the hard work and intent that went in to be fair to people, other than, of course, the slavery issue. But to be, and quite frankly, give us a break. In less than 100 years, we turned that problem around. Now, were there people left behind that continued to abuse the situation? There's always going to be. It's just like, excuse me, it's just like if you outlaw prostitution, people are going to go behind the scenes and do prostitution. If you outlaw whatever bad thing you outlaw, someone's going to go underground and do it. And the point is that, and then other people don't want to admit that it's even going on. You know, a lot of the black persecution that went on with, that continued to go on, you know, oh no, that's not happening here. Everybody was just silent about it. But, look, evil's always going to be there, and we need to decide we're going to rise above it. We're not going to follow the status quo. Quit believing, folks, there's a free lunch out there. There is no such thing. You know, we have to, hard work generates what we need to survive every day. And it also gives you such a good spirit about living every day if you can place your stamp on something that you've done. And, you know, I would much rather walk up the end of the week and stand firm with my hand out for my paycheck than back up and get something in the mail that, you know what I mean? It's just like the parent that, it's like the parent that goes out and buys their kid their first car, and the kid had no skin in the game. They buy him a car, they get him their insurance. Then you got another kid that started working on an old junker out in his garage, and his dad helped him put it together from the time he was 14 till he was old enough to drive, and the kid had to work to get his own insurance. Which one do you think is going to take care of that car and appreciate it? The one that had it handed to him, knows if I wreck it, they'll just get me another one. Or the one that says, man, be careful, I got a lot of work into this thing. And it's the same thing with our lives every day. And we do need to give those a hand up that truly need it. But we need to get back to having some skin in the game. And folks, that begins with voting. And I love something Bishop Jackson said yesterday, and it was just great. I was listening to him. Obviously, he's a black minister. And a lawyer, and he said he is so tired of hearing about the poor people of color being disenfranchised because they want voter ID. He said, do they realize they're telling us that we are too stupid and too irresponsible to get an ID? Because everyone can get an ID. And by saying that you're disenfranchising a certain group of people, if you tell them they have to have an ID to come to the polls, what you're basically saying is that group is not smart enough and they don't have the ability to go get a simple ID. So we've got to help them by not making them get one. There's the message that's going out. I don't want someone telling me I'm too stupid to go to the polls and understand that I need certain things to be there. Shouldn't everyone be held up to have enough to know that they're smart enough and good enough to do that and find a way to do it rather than telling people that you don't need this? You know, they're just trying to disenfranchise you because you're too stupid to do it on your own. And you know, this is a black man speaking, and he said, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of hearing how we need so much help because we're so inept. And he said, we're not. Because let me tell you something. I'm going to close this because we're wrapping up. I want to tell you something out there. If you're black, if you're Hispanic, if you're Asian, where else can I go? White. If you're white, if you're biracial, I don't care. God made us all equal. Is equal as equal can be. Is equal as water that levels out in a bowl. God made us the same. He loves us the same. Jesus died for us the same. He offers the same free gift of salvation. If we repent for the things that are wrong and accept that free gift that he gives us, are we going to be perfect from then on? You better believe we're not. I'm going to be a real hypocrite, because you know what? As people, we're hypocrites, and we don't always do what we want to do. But the truth of the matter is, we trust that God at least loves us and can take care of us, and that he designed us for a life that he wants us to have that's far greater than what the world offers. Don't buy into this stuff. And I just have a burden and a passion for all of you out there. I know that you're not all going to believe as I do, but I got to tell you something, love you anyway. I'm not going to force you to believe what I do. I can't. I can't put thoughts in your mind, in your heart. But I care about you, and I want you to know that. And I know that Frank does. We have these conversations all the time. And I appreciate this opportunity today. Please come see us at Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. You know, I'd also like you to go to the Pastor Spot. It's on Facebook page. Community Christian Fellowship is on there too. But if you go, I try to put some interesting good things on there. There's usually some of the Sunday messages you can pull up. Of course, you can on this station too. Also, I guess it's not really a station anymore. What is this called?
I'd say a digital station.
A digital station. Yeah. And you can pull up past sermons and past things. So, hey, if you want to get a hold of me, give me a call, 740-272-8711. God bless you guys, and have a wonderful day.
And remember, this program can be heard every Friday morning live at 9:15 a.m. right here on WGH Talk, repeated on Wednesday and Thursday at 3:10 p.m. And the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday sermon can be heard at 7:15 on Sunday evening, repeated on Wednesday and Thursday at 4:10 p.m. Go to the website. website, wwgh1071.com. Go to Program Archives. The first one under there is the Pastor Spot. Programs dating back to March, I believe, of 2018. And then right under that is the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday Service. All those programs are archived on there as well. Now remember, you can listen many different ways. Go to the website, wwgh1071.com. Download the TuneIn app. It's absolutely free on any mobile device. Could be a smart TV, could be your cell phone, could be a laptop, could be a tablet, could be an Alexa, could be a Google Doc. People listen all different ways. It's hard not to find us anymore, and it's absolutely free anywhere you are in the world, and Facebook Live for that matter. Go to WWGH 107.1 FM on Facebook, and several shows are Facebook Live and archived there. About 20 seconds left, Pastor.
All I can say, you know, really is God bless you guys. I pray that you have a good life, that you realize there's more to life than what this world out there is offering us, and that you have a blessed week. Come visit us at church. We'd love to see you. Bye.
Have a great week.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the place for all the big events. For Scott Spears and Terry Tackett at the 2016 World Series in Cleveland, Ohio, as the Cleveland Indians face the Chicago Cubs.
Now, how is this all going to end up? How many games are we going to play in this series?
I want to say six games. We're going to take it in six.
Four to six. So what do you think will happen when the Indians go to Wrigley? Because you know that city also is waiting for a World Series.